Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Raul Reese, Calvary Chapel of Golden Springs, Somebody Loves You Crusades. I went looking for photos of Raul online today, and I found a few that just kind of show you how he conducts his ministry up there at Golden Springs. This is Golden Springs pastoral training, because pastors need to know how to take some hard knocks up there, and so he passes out the hard knocks. And this is laying on of hands up at Kung Fu Evangelism. And this last one, I think, is this is a guy caught texting during the message. So you better make sure if your phone is up that it's the Bible on there tonight, okay? Unless you're evangelizing, you're telling somebody else about Jesus, that's okay too. Pastor Raul Reese, and this is the truth. Pastor Raul is a guardian of the flock. He loves the flock of God, and he doesn't stand back and watch wolves come in and take him out. And I wouldn't want to be on the other side of Raul in a fight. I want him on my side. So you got my back? Okay, good.
It's good to be here this evening. You know, so many things are happening in the world today. And, you know, hearing about Sharon the other day. And yet we know and we trust God for whatever he wants in our lives. We know that we are under his hands. And surely we've been married for 45 years. And it's been a long time, but we have three sons. One's 45, the other one's 43, and then Ryan's 37, just turned 37. But to me, it's a blessing to see my children, because Ryan was vaccinated for 19 years. I got into every kind of drug you could ever imagine. And yet the power of God, he was down in Central America, in Panama City. And the Lord, that evening, as one of the skateboarders called me. He used to work for my son, a skateboard company. He'd take all these guys around the world. They were skateboarders, professional skateboarders. And he took part of that, you know, drugs and partying every single time for 19 years. And he was in a hotel room, and he came to the hotel room. He opened a drawer, and there was a Gideon Bible there. And so he took the Bible, began to read it. He put it away, went to bed. Next morning, he got up. And then he got on the plane, and the guy sat on one side. He sat on the other side, and for 7 hours, he read the Word of God. He got to LAX. He called me. He says, "Hey, Dad, do you know of a rehab that I can go to?" I said, "Well, why don't you come tomorrow, and then we can talk about that and see if we can find a place." He came, and I got to share with him, you know, that he would sit in one of my corners in my office where he could listen to the Word of God through Pastor Chuck. So he went ahead and started listening to the Word of God. He never went to rehab. And then we went to Israel. This was really a really neat time. We went to Israel and Ryan in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I couldn't see him. And he was by one of the, on the other side of one of the olive trees. And he had his head down. He was sitting on the floor. And at that point in time, he said, "Lord, I'm giving you my whole life. You know, when one of those guys come back, like your son, you know, he could have died so many times, and yet God gave him another opportunity. And then God called him into a ministry called the Whosoevers, where people are raw, and I mean, they're all tattooed out, and all these things are going on. He has not one tattoo in his body. And it's been so neat for God to use him with Sonny from POD and Head. And just all these professional athletes that have come on board. Ronnie, the disruptor, he's one of the guys that flips on motorcycles. Enduros, he has so many things. And God put this team together to go all over the world and to teach the Word of God. So if you can keep him in prayer, it would be appreciated tonight. But let's turn to the book of Ephesians this evening. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 5 through 17. You know, to me, the book of Ephesians is such a great book because not only does it tell us our position in Christ, and when we know our position in Christ, and this is the way we should be walking in Christ Jesus. And whenever I think of our position in Christ, I can really go back when I accepted the Lord back in 1972. When I accepted the Lord, I didn't go to church. My mother-in-law, Sharon's mother, for 2 years, she tried to get me to go to Calvary Chapel, but I would not go. And it's amazing how God works, because in 1972, on April 15, my wife was at church with my kids, and I had come home, and I was going to kill my wife and my kids because she was leaving me. And this is how God works. I was sitting there, and I had broken up my whole house. I had my gun out, and I hit the TV to break the TV. And when I hit the TV came on. Catherine Kuhlman, you know, one of the evangelists at that time, they had a gift of healing, you know, a gift of healing. And Chuck got invited with the hippie people to go on that program. And Chuck was sitting on a stool, and he was speaking about God's love. And I was full of hate. And when he started talking about God's love, I took my rifle. I wanted to shoot the TV, but I couldn't do it. God was holding me back, I guess. And as I began to hear the message over and over and over, all of a sudden, man, I found myself on my knees. I said, Jesus, if you're really real, come into my life. Change my life. I never got into drugs, ever. Not alcohol. But my problem was violence. A very violent person. My wife suffered tremendously with me for 4.5 years because I had no control of my violence. And when Jesus touches your life, he transforms you, he changes you. That's what's so cool about Jesus. And when I was reading Ephesians, the Lord reminded me of Paul's conversion. When Paul was converted on his way to Damascus. And when he writes this epistle here, it's just an incredible epistle because it's a prison epistle that he writes. And when it comes to chapter 5, he's closing the book. And in verse 15 through 17, he says this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I think that every one of us needs to understand the will of God, especially in the days they were living in. Especially these days. These are very dangerous days they were living because if you look at the church today, you know, you look at the church in the way that it's heading, and we get to travel all over the country, all over the world, and it's incredible when you go to these churches and you speak in some of these churches, even Calvary Chapels, that the people have become cold. I can remember when I got saved and Bill got saved, you know, it was the time of the hippie movement. A great revival took place. And I mean, you had to stand in line to get into church. And today, you look at churches and it's very hard to get people into the church. And they're losing heart. And I'm really concerned as a pastor. I'm concerned for the people because we're living in such an incredible day that if there was any time that Jesus could return, it's today. I mean, you look at the world today. I mean, we're living in the computer age, the age of electronics. You look at kids down the street, you know, and this is what they're doing. They don't communicate anymore. You know, they just go through everything, you know, electronically, and yet they have no fellowship with their parents, no fellowship with people. And then you think of all these kids with their iPhones and little computers, that there's a difficult problem today, and the problem is that pornography is getting to these kids really heavy. I just spoke to our church about this on Sunday morning. Because these young kids at age 8 years old, through 12 years old, through 14 years old, the enemy, Satan, is getting a hold of their lives and destroying their minds. I think for the church, you know, I know that this church prays. I know that this church reaches out to the world, which is amazing. To me, it's awesome. But then at the same time, with all of us uniting together and praying for our nation, praying for our government, praying for the church in your individually, that God not only will touch the church, but that God will do a tremendous work in us and through our lives. Paul the apostle had that kind of mentality in the time that he was living in. It was very tough times. Rome was ruling. They were killing Christians. And then I wonder in this generation if we're going to experience martyrdom because of the truth. I mean, the world has so many freedoms today, so many freedoms that even the homosexual community can stand up. 20% of the homosexual community can stand up and actually change laws in America. What about the church? The church, the salt and light of the world. That as we sit and we wonder what's going to happen to the world, but no, what's going to happen to the church? Paul really spoke to me through the scriptures here about circumspectly, you know, not only the days were evil, but at the same time, think that there's a lot of people today, the way they walk. Do they really walk according to the Holy Spirit? Or are they walking foolishly? Foolishly. Because even though we are living today in the last days, people do not have the fear of God. The fear of God. When I came out of the world, I really meant it. And I never wanted to look back. I never wanted to go back to that world that I came out of. And I remember that when I first got saved, I didn't even know they had Christian bookstores. I found one in Covina, so I went inside, and they had all these, you know, fishes and little fish, big, medium-sized, big old fishes with the Greek writing concerning Christianity. And then they had Bibles, little Bibles, medium-sized, big old Bibles. And I thought, man, I got to get a Bible. Because I was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I went ahead and bought me not the little Bible, I bought me a holy Bible. Family Bible. I mean, imagine this big old Bible. And then I saw these little fishes and medium and big fishes. And then I got this big old fish around my neck. Okay? So if I was standing here tonight, you're looking at me, you would think it was a shark with the lights. But you know what? I wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I went back to my high school, the Lord called me back to my high school. I had been out of high school for a long time. Mr. Hollenbeck, he was my baseball coach. And Barnhole was, again, my assistant baseball coach. They were the principal and vice principal. What was incredible is when I went into the high school, I talked to them. The first thing they did, they called the police because they did not believe me. I was bummed out because I thought, well, maybe God's not going to use me here. Maybe I'm making up in my mind. I went home for 2 weeks, and I was really bummed out. I was praying about it. I was coming to Calvary Chapel back and forth. And then the Lord told me to go back. I went back. They led me to the high school. And then I got to teach the kids at the high school. Today, you can't do that. I got to stand up one day on a picnic bench, not yelling or screaming. And just like I'm talking to you, I began to talk to these kids. And as I was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, I gave an altar call. And about 500 kids got up and came on their knees. And then I knew that God was speaking to the kids. And we saw that in the 70s. And then God opened the door for me to go to 13 high schools and to go in and share our faith with these young kids. And then as I was reading the scripture here, I was thinking, can you imagine what Paul did in reaching out to the world? And at the same time, think of each one of us individually. When is the last time that any one of us have led anyone to the Lord? Think about it. I mean, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have such a gold treasure, such an incredible treasure that has been given to by the Lord. And when you look at the history of the church, people were willing to die for their faith in Jesus Christ. And today, maybe the way our nation is heading, maybe at one time, maybe it's going to happen because of all the things that are going on in this nation. Think of the Muslim nation, radical Islam today, what they're doing. And to me, when I look at radical Islam, that these people not only hate Israel, but they hate America and they hate Christians. We are big Satan, Israel's little Satan. And if we're truly living in the last and as a church, as believers, are we truly getting rooted and grounded in God's word? In case our Bibles were taken from us, could you still know the scriptures? Do you study the word of God? Do you come to that place in your life where not only you're hoping that God will use your life not only to bring glory and honor to his name, but even as Paul is writing in this letter concerning, he says, see that you walk carefully. Notice exactly, you notice in meaning this, the opposite would be this, walking carelessly without proper guidance and forethought. We surely don't want to walk like that. We cannot, not as Christians, ever walk back into the world and walk the way we used to walk. We need to walk in our newness of life. Something that really strikes my heart and something that I'm concerned about is when I counsel with Christians and you talk to them. And they're having these situations where they're going back, and this happens with pastors too. They're going back into the world and at the same time trying to serve God. And Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You love the one, you'll hate the other. A couple of years ago with Pastor Chuck, you know, they called us and they wanted us to go out and speak to some pastor from Calvary Chapel back in the Midwest because he was having problems. So when we went back to the Midwest, we came to this church and we started speaking to this pastor. And what happened, he not only had slept with 8 women in his church, but taking drugs and drinking alcohol. And he, every Sunday, giving the word of God. No conviction and no shame. It shows you the condition of the church today. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit says to us. Paul says here, don't walk in your sleep. Wake up, open your eyes, and make the most of the day. Are we making the most of our days every single day? If Jesus truly is coming, do we really believe it? Let me give you 5 reasons. Number 1 reason is that it's a mark of what? The coming of the Lord is a mark of being wise as a church. Surely we don't want to be fools. We want to be wise people. He says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So God desires that his children walk carefully, not walking like the rest of the world. Like the rest of the world walks in the flesh and very unwisely. Romans chapter 8:1 says, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. According to the Holy Spirit walking. You see, as a wise man, it marks us not only as true believers, but as wise men, it marks our course and the way that we're heading. The way the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to our destination, wherever we're doing, wherever we're going. But a fool is always drifting by the wind. Never stays on course, but is always drifting away. One time I was down here hunting the beach after a Sunday morning service. I came to serve here and I had a Sunday night service. So I came here, I parked my car, I had a Toyota pickup truck, and I went surfing. I gave the lifeguard my keys. He took them, so I went out, I surfed, I came back, and I asked him for my keys. And he says, your keys, I don't have your keys. I said, I gave you my keys. So he starts looking all over the place, I start looking. I thought maybe, you know, he dropped them in the sand, so I started looking through the sand, couldn't find them. So then I started walking, looking for my car because I couldn't find my car. I thought maybe this guy sold me out and gave the keys to someone. They stole my car. So I keep looking. I walked down about a half mile, and there's my car. I had drifted. How many times we think we're on course and we have drifted from the truth? Think about it. You think that you're on ship. You think, man, I'm right on with the Lord. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm doing this with the Lord. But have you really recently looked at your life spiritually? Are you still on course? Or little by little, are you drifting away from the truth of God? You see, a fool constantly is walking in darkness, not in the light. According to Jesus in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, verse 12, Jesus said, then Jesus spoke them again and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We came out of the darkness. If you go into a dark room, it's pitch dark, and you can't see anything, what's the first thing you're going to do? Look for the light switch. And once you find the light switch, what happens? The light comes on. What happens to the darkness? It's gone. That's what happens when you come to Christ. the light has been turned on. And if the light has been turned on, then our behavior changes. Our life changes. Why? Because people are watching our lives. My mom and my father were constantly watching my life. My brother, my sisters, my friends that I grew up with. They knew where I was coming from and they knew what happened to me. And did you know that over the last 40 years, not only did my mom and dad come to the Lord, and my brother, he's a pastor too, my sisters, but incredible is that my assistant pastor and then the Calvary Chapel of West Covina now, or Covina, Joe Salias, and others, there's 30 of my friends that have gotten saved and they come to church. The Holy Spirit does that. And Paul here, he's talking about the darkness that people walk in. We're supposed to be in the light, not in darkness. How about people that walk in the flesh? In the flesh. Paul says in Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak to the flesh, God did it by sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. In the flesh. We're supposed to be walking according to the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, another thing, fools are walking like heathens. Fools walk like heathens. Ephesians 4:17 said, "This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the emptiness of your minds, in the futility of your mind." We have a new mind. We have a clean heart. Our life has changed fully, completely. The reason people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is not the way you preach, but by the way you live. By the way you live. And I have found that in my life. It is not by my preaching, it's the way you live next door to your neighbor. If you go to the gym or you go to the beach, mountain, wherever you go, people are constantly watching our lives. And that they don't see Christ in us, and we're becoming like fools, like the rest of the world. Then instead of bringing people to Christ, we're turning people away from Jesus Christ. And by the way, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one that took us out of the mud, the one that washed us by his blood, and the one that one day is going to come to get each one of us individually to be in his presence forever and ever and ever, because he loves you and he loves me. That's why we're here. And then how about walking in craftiness? In craftiness. 2 Corinthians 4:2, Paul says, "But if we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." In the sight of God. You know, God is everywhere. And yet how many times we think that we can get away with sin because we think, well, God doesn't see this. God doesn't hear this. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. If we would have the conscience to know that wherever I sit, wherever I stand, wherever I walk, wherever I lie down, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is there for each one of us individually. One thing I learned as a Christian when I came to the Lord about my conscience. And my conscience, before I came to Christ, was a conscience that just did evil, no conviction. I mean, not sore for anything. But when I came to Christ, before I would do something wrong, and still today, my conscience, which is the Holy Spirit, tells me this. Do you want to offend me or do you want to please me? He gives you opportunity because we have a free will. We're not, you know, little robots on the string. And so it's important for us that when we hear the voice of God or even reading the word of God and God speaks to you, that we need to sit back, be still, know that I am God, and then make your decision to walk in the flesh or to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. You do not want to walk in craftiness. You want to make sure you're walking by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the light, so others that are in darkness can come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. How about a fool walking completely and willfully in sin, which sin separates us from God. Colossians chapter 3, 5 says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which, listen, in which you yourselves once walked when you live in them. We used to walk, no longer do we walk. I am shocked when I counsel with people in the church. Child parents and grandparents, child molesters. Breaks my heart. I mean, wives committed adultery, husbands committed adultery, the father not being the head of his home, leading the home, praying with them, reading the word of God. And then you hear about homosexuality within the church. Sometimes in our church, we had these young girls that they were lesbians and they would hold hands and come to the services with no shame. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can convict people. But a lot of times, instead of the Holy Spirit convicting people, we have such a hard heart that we don't want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And even as we see it here tonight, how will God speak to each one of us individually so that we can continue to walk with Him and to please Him in every area of my life? Because God loves me so much and He loves you so much. How about secondly, how we should walk as wise people? Number one, wise people walk in the light. In the light. 1 John 1:7 says, John, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. Cleanses us from all sin, the blood of Jesus Christ. Secondly, a wise man walks in the truth. Truth, not lies, not deception. 3 John 1:3 says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came to testify of the truth that in you, that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. This is Chuck's favorite verse when he signs Bibles. This is what he says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy. With this beautiful church here. And Polly, your pastor, there's no greater joy as a pastor to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Especially in the evil days that we're living in. How about thirdly, a wise man walks in Christ Jesus. What's our position? In Christ. Paul says it 42 times in the book of Ephesians. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. In Him. Not outside of Him, in Him. He's in our lives. And then wise men walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit every single day. I tell people all the time, as I was teaching that day in the book of Matthew, I want to sermon them out. I said, the first thing when you get up in the morning, what do? You get up, you take a shower. I hope you take a shower. And you brush your teeth. You comb your hair. You go get breakfast. You get in your car. You go to school. You go to work. You go to the gym. And let me ask you this. When do you spend time with God? When you got into the world, Paul says in chapter 6 of Ephesians, were to put on the armor of God. Why? Because the armor of God stands against the enemy and all of his missiles that come against us. When I was in Vietnam, before we would go out to the bush, you know, we always wore a flak gear in case of an explosion, in case we got shot. And without that flak gear, we would be dead ducks. And if in the military today, they protect their heart, they protect their chest, they protect their lower parts. How much more shall the church put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves from the schemes of the what? Of the devil. The schemes of the devil. When I was in seminary with Dr. Harley, one of my professors, it was funny because he asked a question and I answered it. It was the wrong answer. And he embarrassed me. And he says, I want you to go home, the whole class, and I want you to read the book of Amos, because he was talking about the castle of Bashan in chapter 4. So we went home, we read it, and I've read commentaries, right? So we came back and we said, you know, here's, you know, the castle of Bashan are prostitutes. Prostitutes. But if you read it in its context, it was the rich, the heavy rich women, they were oppressing the poor. Oppressing the poor. So when we read the Word of God, or we study the Word of God, we need to know God in such a way that when the Word of God speaks to our hearts, there's not only conviction, but there's a change in our attitudes, in our speech, in the way we forgive people and not judge people. This is important today. Because if we don't do that, then how can we say that we're walking by the power of the Holy Spirit when we're truly not walking by the power of the Holy Spirit? Paul says in Galatians chapter 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 25, if we live by the Holy Spirit, then let us also walk. Walking is fellowship with God by the Holy Spirit of God. How about this one? Walking in love. Walking in love. That was one of the hardest things for me to do. And today sometimes it's hard for me. Especially when you drive the freeways, very hard. But the Holy Spirit again convicts you. And if you came from a home that had a lot of violence and a lot of hate, you know that when you came to Jesus Christ, it was very hard for me to love people, even to hug people. But as I came to Christ and began to read the Word of God, and I began to wait upon the Lord, all of a sudden that love that God puts in your hearts, it transforms you. And the love that Jesus Christ has put in my heart for the non-believer, because I see them as people that when they die, they'll go to hell. Family members, friends. And I think that the greatest way to do that is to show them the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Instead of preaching to them, let us live in front of them the love of Christ. So they will see it. They can see that we really truly have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. How about this one? Faith. Faith in the Lord. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know what? I really don't care if God shows me any. I'm not looking for a sign. I want to be able that when God speaks through His Word, I want to take that leap of faith to see what God is going to do. When we came to Diamond Bar, we left West Covina. We were there for 12 years. We came to Diamond Bar. Rich, the owner of In-N-Out, and his brother was not a Christian, but Rich was. And we got to know him. He told us about this place in Diamond Bar. There was a huge building. I think it's 160,000 square foot, two-story. And we went there. It was actually empty for 12 years. So we went and took a little trip there. Chuck went with me. Greg Laurie went with us. We looked at the building. And as we looked at the building, all of a sudden, I had the sciatic so bad. It was my appendix. So I went that evening into the hospital. They went ahead. They took my appendix out. And the next day, I woke up, and my whole family was sitting, my wife, my kids. And the reason is that they found in my blood cells leukemia, blood cells. So I thought I was going to die. 3 days later, the Lord touched my life and healed me. But we had this building that when we saw the building, we went around the building and we began just to look at the building. But we came up at 5 o'clock in the morning and began to pray. We sold our building in West Covina for $1.2 million. This building wanted $22 million. $22 million. We only had like 200,000 in the bank. So what we did is by faith, we went ahead, we talked to Chuck, and Chuck loaned us $2.5 million. We got the building for $19 million. So we went ahead, moved in, and our payment was $150,000 a month. From West Covina to Diamond Bar, we lost 4,000 people. They didn't want to travel 12 miles. We only had 1,000 people. The city would not give us permits. We told them we bought the property already. It was 22 acres of land. And they said, we can't do that. So we took 1,000 people with us to the city. They gave us our permit. But with a condition that we could only apply the church to 17 acres. And then the 12 other acres, it was commercial. We had to pay taxes on. So imagine paying taxes every year. We lost not only half of our staff. I mean, we had no salaries. At $147,000 payment a month. One day, we didn't even know this person. He walked in and he said that if we wanted to borrow some money without interest, that he would give it to us. So I told him, well, we got to pray about that one, you know. So we prayed. And then he came back, and the Lord just gave us the greatest, so he gave us the $300,000. And by the way, in 2 years, we paid back $2.5 million to Pastor Chuck Smith. And then this guy's money, we paid it back in a year. And our payment kept increasing. Well, this whole thing went on for 16 years, the payment. God had a purpose for this. A Jewish company that built homes and bought properties, the Lewis Homes. We got to know them. They were Jews. One day they walked into my office because they had this property we could never build. And they say, hey, Rob, we want to buy those 12 acres of land, the commercial. I said, well, you know, that's worth a lot of money. He says, no, we're going to give you more than it's worth. So they gave me $15 million. My actual balance on my loan was $16.5 million. He not only gave me $15 million, but he gave us the hill behind us and the people that had the condos up there to pay half of our water. And he built a road so we can come in and out of our property. Our payment went down completely. We still owe like $2 million. A guy in our church that had been there for, I think, 20-some years, I didn't even know who he was, he went ahead and paid off our debt. Paid off our debt. And you know what? God has always, always come to that place where he's provided for each one of us. We did a film called Taking the Hill. I was in Las Vegas doing a men's conference. This lady kept following me around, man. I said, what does she want? She was following me around. So I said, excuse me, can I help you? She says, can I talk to you for a second? Sure, but right here in public, you know? Not out of public. Blamelessness, right? So I'm talking to her. She's talking to me. She says, hey, I saw your Quiet Hope, a film that I did back in 1984 for veterans. And I saw it. She says, my husband was a Vietnam veteran. He left me. I haven't seen him in 20 years. He says, how much do you think it would take? I said, have you ever thought about making another film? I said, well, you know, it's expensive. When God provides, when he provides, he'll take care of it. She said, well, how much do you think it would be to make another film? I mean, that was, back in the year 2000. I said, probably today, $300,000. She left. She came back the next day. And what she did is she called me out again. So I went and talked to her. And she came and she says, how much did you think is going to be making that movie? So I said, about $300,000. She gave me a check, listen, for $1 million to go make the film. The only problem is she held a check and she said, Satan's going to come after. I said, Satan's always after me. She looked at me. I said, no, Satan's going to come after you. We got the check. We deposited. I was teaching on a Wednesday night, just like here, on the book of Hebrews chapter 3. I finished the study. I closed the Bible. I went home. I got to my driveway. It was very dark. I turn off the engine, and when I turn off the engine, from my navel to my throat to my head, I had this thing where I was back in Vietnam. I was running back. I was running down the street thinking I was crazy. My neighbors didn't know what's going on. I called Sharon. I said, Sharon, get up. I said, I need you to get up right now. I don't know what happened. She came and she found me in my office on my face because I was having these seizures. Went to the doctor the next day. She was with me. Dale was with me. And I had a seizure right in front of the doctor. They began to check my seizures. They didn't know why I was going. As to the present time, 4.5 years, I still have seizures. I don't pass out, but I can read and I can speak for 30 to 45 seconds. 30 to 45 seconds. And then I come back and I have to wait to get my thoughts back, you know, again. The congregation already knows. So if I go out for a little bit, they know I'll come back in a second. They already know that. But, you know, it's just incredible that I had to go back to Vietnam and film. My wife went with me. We went back to Vietnam. I had to go back to those places where I lost 40 guys, 40 of my friends. It was one of the hardest things that I ever did in my life. I came back, and God, by His grace, because I was Billy Graham's, I was with Billy. He wrote an article for me about Vietnam, and I guess the government read it, and they called me one day, and they asked me about my situation because I said something that I should have never said. It was private. Through that, God used it to find Chikatilo, Camateris, and Pete Silva. They lost both of his legs. They were my platoon. And they're in my film. And two of them already have come to know Christ. And God has His ways, which, you know, His ways are not our ways. Not our ways. And the reason I'm telling you this is because God is the only one that can do anything in our lives. Just like Paul says here, walking by faith. When we got that building, man, walking by faith. When I went to Vietnam, walking by faith. And when I got to Vietnam, it was just an amazing thing because I hadn't been back in 40 years. And to go back to those places where I lost 40 guys, it was so hurting to me, so hard to go back. But God used it to find three guys in my platoon that we were all wounded. And to be in that film and for them to separate us, to get the story so that we're not lying. And when we went to Washington, D.C., Camateris, he lives in Arizona, he says, let me go out to my car. He says, let me go out to the car. He says, I had, in Vietnam, I wrote a diary. I never knew that. He never knew that. None of us. He went out to his car. He gave us a copy of this diary that he wrote every single day. And when I began to read that diary, and it's in our movie, it hurt me because I was now a transformed man that I could do such things in Vietnam and that God could forgive me. God could forgive me. But that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That no matter what any one of us have ever done, Jesus will forgive us. And the reason is because we walk by faith. Not by sight. I have never seen Jesus. I've never, you know, felt Him. I don't look for signs and wonders. I know that Jesus is with me, and I've seen miracles and wonders. But I love the way God uses each one of us individually, and even here tonight, you know, if you're walking by faith, no matter what you're going through, if you walk by faith, God will hear your prayers. And if He delays His prayers, it's because He is going to work in your life and He's going to work through your life. Listen to the last one here. Pleasing God. Do we please God? Do we truly come to that place of pleasing the Lord? Remember Paul in Romans chapter 12, 1. Therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of what? The Spirit of God. When Jesus Christ not only touches our lives, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I don't want to be just a Christian. I want in everything that I do, my conversations, in my teaching, in my preaching, in my witnessing, whatever it may be, in business, whatever, I want to make sure that I'm pleasing the Lord. And that I am pleasing to Him. And in being pleasing to the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, he says, finally, my brethren, I urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us in how you ought to walk and please God. Think about that. So I think of how Christ not only gave His life for us, but each one of us individually, even here tonight, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, are we willing to come to that place in our knees before God, in our faces, and say, Jesus, I know that you touched my life. I know that you have saved me. that, Lord, I want to commit my whole life to you. Fully, completely. And I like kind of getting on my face before the Lord and just kind of waiting upon him, not taking, you know, anything that's going to distract you. And maybe taking some paper and a pen or your little iPod so you can write down whatever the Lord gives to your heart. Right now what I'm doing is I got Chuck's devotional. And as I'm going through the devotional, when I finish the day's devotion, I write on top of the devotion. And then I write at the bottom. And the reason I'm doing this for my grandbabies, so they can see my wife and my heart, that how much we love Jesus. And not only to love Jesus, but not only for that, but each one of us individually. As we come into that place, our secret place before the Lord, imagine how powerful every day we would walk with Jesus and how he can use our lives fully, completely. Maybe tonight, the Lord has spoken to you many times, as our brother preaches here, Bill. He has an amazing ministry here. And it's really important that if you're a truly missionary church, imagine how many of you here can be called to the mission field. And maybe you don't have to go to Australia or China or any else, but there's a whole mission field right here in this area. In this area. But it's going to start on our knees before God, asking God not only to baptize me with his Holy Spirit, to anoint me, and to give me a heart after his own heart, so that God can do whatever he desires to do in my life, your neighborhood, where you work, where you play. There are sinners everywhere you go, people in need today, people that are hurting, people that need Jesus. And I want to pray tonight for this church that God not only will blow out your walls here, but that he will blow out the walls so that we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. That's my desire. Too many churches have gone to sleep. I think that this church is not sleeping. I thank God for our brother, what he does in missions, and his wife. And the things that not only he has learned in ministry. We were together in Australia, and it's so amazing to see the way he ministers to people, the way God uses him, and the way God intends to use each one of you individually, no matter how old you are or how young you are. Because that's what Pastor Chuck Smith taught us. To sit, to study, to learn, and then to become active and go out to the world. The sheep beget the sheep. And it's so neat to see what God not only is doing here, but what he wants to continue to do in us and through our lives.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.